everyone, and welcome to another episode of Peach State Prospects, your go-to podcast for all things Atlanta Braves minor league baseball. I am your host, Gaurav, and joining me today is my co-host, Garrett Spain. And today we will be focusing on a player that has made some serious waves this year in the organization, and that is none other than Lucas Braun. So let's go ahead and get the fun started. A little more about Lucas. His senior year in high school was in 2019, where he reached the city championship and was named All-City Co-Pitcher of the Year. He also was named team MVP thanks to a ridiculous year on the mound. He had a 0.85 ERA, a 12.7 strikeout per nine rate. He was walking people just at 2.1 per nine. And overall, he was limiting hitters to a 185 batting average against. He was just absolutely overpowering over at Palisades High School. Following a solid high school career with a great senior year, Lucas found himself at the University of San Diego back in 2020 and 2021. Now, of course, due to COVID, that season was very, very restricted, didn't really get to pitch much. And from there, he actually made the move to Cal State Northridge, where his collegiate career really, really took off. He was essentially one of the best starting pitchers over in the Big West. He started out as a reliever back in 2022, but then shifted to the starting rotation in March, where he would go on to make 10 starts and propel himself and his team to a 7-1 with a 1.40 ERA. In 2023, Lucas was the first Cal State Matador since 2016 to reach 100 strikeouts. He was the team's Friday starter. He was someone you didn't want to mess with in college. Of course, in 2023, he also went on to be selected in the sixth round by the Atlanta Braves. His first start in the Braves organization, of course, was in Augusta. He would go on to make four starts there. He would accumulate a 1.04 ERA and a 0.92 whip before ultimately ending the season in Rome, where he would make a pair of appearances. In 2024, he would start the year off in Rome, where he would appear in 12 games, making 11 starts, and he had a 4.34 ERA, but a very dominating 10.49 K per nine before ultimately being promoted to AA Mississippi, where he's already made 12 starts, has really taken a step forward, has a 2.55 ERA and a 1.08 whip. On the season, Lucas has three 10 strikeout games, three games that really, really stand out. Back on June 14th against Bowling Green, he really showcase, and I believe this ended up resulting in him winning pitcher of the week. But against Bowling Green, seven innings pitched, four hits, zero runs, zero walks, and 12 strikeouts. He would then follow that up over in Mississippi just not that long ago, August 20th, against Chattanooga. Lucas would go 6.2 innings with five hits, one earned run, one walk, and 10 strikeouts. He would go on just that next week. He would also face Chattanooga once again, where he would absolutely, when we say someone was on fire, that like perfectly epitomizes exactly what Lucas was. He pitched seven innings, zero hits, zero runs, three walks, and 10 strikeouts, which is another absolutely dominating appearance. He's propelled himself into the rankings and into the top 15, firmly within the top 10 for us at Peach State Prospects. All of that success he's had, let's dig into it just a little bit. How does Lucas get it done? Well, he features a four-pitch mix about 40% of the time. He's got that solid four-seam fastball where comes in around 92 to 94 miles an hour at 2,400 RPM. He's got solid movement on that pitch with a nearly 9-inch horizontal break. Right under that fastball is his slider, which he still throws 35% of the time. That's a 10-mile-an-hour difference between his fastball because that slider comes in at 82 to 84 miles an hour. Again, almost 2,400 RPM. And he's got almost 6 inches of horizontal break with an induced vertical break of negative 1.4 inches, just a very, very interesting pitch. Third on that list on his arsenal is that curveball, which he throws about 15% of the time. We're seeing more differentiation as he throws that curveball between 77 and 79 miles an hour. So now you have to, in one at bat, you're looking at 77 all the way to 95 miles an hour. That curveball, again, sitting 77 to 79 with 2,300 RPM, nearly 9 inches of induced vertical break and 13 inches of horizontal break. And rounding out that arsenal is his changeup, which he throws 83 to 85. That one's coming in at 1,800 RPM and a great 15 inches of horizontal break with a 6 inch induced vertical break. A lot of stuff to, I just went over a lot of stuff itself. A lot to like about Lucas here. I want to now go to you. What can you tell us about and what have you seen from Lucas's mechanics? Because let's be honest, you are one of the first people I recall really hopping on the Lucas Braun bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, Braun had a bit of a tough start to the year. His command was off, and he has somewhat interesting mechanics where really is set up. He fully pitches from the stretch. He starts off very closed off with his back almost to the batter, and then he pretty much lands, fully closed off. Not fully closed off, but he lands a little bit closed off, despite having to throw a little bit across of his body in terms of where his feet land. He rotates his trunk well. He really ex gets good extension. He tends to command the ball very well, and he repeats his delivery well. So he's had very good command, throughout his career. He has a three-quarter delivery, and the only thing that really gives him trouble is he will tend to have his, it's a short arm path. If that arm path lengthens out, it'll kind of drag and his arm will drop a little bit, and he'll tend to miss up with his fastball. You mentioned his fastball. It's not, it's below average in, average to a little bit below average induced vertical break. He really relies on the horizontal movement of that pitch to get swing and miss. And so when he misses up because of the shape of that pitch, it becomes hittable. It's, especially, any fastball in the middle of the zone is hittable, but his doesn't have the movement to really miss bats in the zone. So when he's not hitting on the edges, he will tend to get hit pretty hard on his fastball. But he's very good at making adjustments, in games, going to different pitches depending on what works on a different day. And so that's one of the impressive things about him is his ability to do that. But, really his biggest thing is occasionally the command will come and go. But that's very rare for him. Typically, that's a plus command grade on the guy, generally speaking. He had a few games at the early in the year that he struggled. He's had a little bit of trouble, as he's adjusted his approach as a pitcher in double A, he's had some times where he's had trouble with that. But for the most part, he commands the ball well. And, despite somewhat funky mechanics, I really don't, there's no reason to project his command to regress in any way.
That's a cool, really cool statement on its own. Garrett, I actually wanted to ask a follow-up question for you. Again, you were one of the first person that really, really hitched on to that Lucas Braun bandwagon, including going as far as to say that you think he might be one of the first arms up next year. What was it about Lucas that really stuck out to you that made you say, okay, not only is this guy legitimate, like he's going to be moving fast?
I think it's the command first, right? That's one of the hardest things for guys to get, and he has the command base there. And then, you kind of look at guys the Braves have moved fairly quickly in the past. You have guys like Dylan Dodd, who has a fairly good fastball, but secondaries aren't really there. And then you have guys like Darius Vines or Allen Wynans, who they have one really good secondary, but the fastball isn't good enough. The thing with him is he has both of those traits where he has a, his fastball's good enough. He has a secondary, in his slider and curveball that can both get swing and miss. So he has a good combination of those traits along with command. And so there's not really a lot to improve physically with him. It's more about, okay, what is the approach that's going to work for you at the major league level? And so they're working on that. And once they figure out exactly what they want to do with him approach-wise, it's going to be fairly quick that they're going to say, okay, you're ready. And the Braves, as quickly as they rotate through arms, he's going to be one of the first guys up. And I think I would have him maybe not right now just because he's not on the 40-man roster, but he's probably above guys like, Wynans and Dodd in terms of the Braves actually wanting to use him.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there in terms of also fan experience, just because there is so much like to like about Lucas. And we went over the fact that he's got that four pitch mix. Now, Garrett, another follow-up for you. Like, how do you, are all four of those pitches usable? Again, the rates aren't very, you know, 40% fastball, 35% slider, 15% curveball, 10% changeup. I'm going to ask you again another question about the overall trends, but then I wanted to just get your feedback on what do you think of his actual pitches?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of them he can use in games, and he's done so very well. I think the changeup is behind in terms of his ability to actually have a feel for it, and I don't think that it necessarily, I don't know that it's necessary to be a feature of his arsenal just the way that he pitches. He tends to pitch off of his slider, and so because of that, the changeup, you know, he's not a guy that's pitching off of his fastball, and so he needs his he needs a pitch that plays off of his fastball. He's pitching off of his slider, and kind of everything else goes away from that. So the changeup isn't necessarily something that he needs. So it is something that he used fairly well at high A, and you know, the Braves will sometimes just take pitches away and then add them back later. So he could be end up being a guy that throws 20% changeup at the major league level. We don't really know. You know, it's important to realize at this level that a guy's approach isn't necessarily what it's going to be at the next level. Right now, he's not throwing the changeup a lot. And that's the pitch that I have the most questions about in terms of his ability to really land it in good locations. Otherwise, I mean, the fastball, it's probably average, maybe a tick below average, but you know, good velocity, solid enough movement for it to work, and he commands it well. Slider is very good. I'd put that as a 55. Curveball is probably a 50, maybe a little bit over a 50 there. And then everything plays up because he commands it well. So I think overall, all four pitches are usable. It's just going to be about exactly how they implement that. And I think that they're starting to really feed off of his slider's his best pitch. Let's go with that pitch and kind of work out from that and build the arsenal around that pitch specifically.
I absolutely love that. And one thing I forgot to actually even include in the scouting report also was that he's got great extension on all four pitches. So you got a well-commanded arsenal. He can throw all four for strikes. Again, I will say coming into the draft, I believe it was MLB Pipeline that had Lucas's changeup as a 50, 55, somewhere around there. If he, again, we haven't seen it as much, but if he does show that more in potentially AAA or the majors next season, you're looking at four potential average to plus pitches with excellent command and control. Like, that's a really, really attractive skill set. And again, I think that's a really, I can see the projection. I see why, Garrett, you've talked about him so much this year. There's a lot to like about him. He's a pitcher as well as like a bit of a, you know, I would say one person that we've seen this year, Hurston Waldron, more of a thrower than a pitcher. When I say that, I mean, again, Lucas is able to work with four different pitches, has command on all four. He's got good extension, pretty good velocity. While he doesn't need to have a 98 to 99 mile an hour fastball, sits in 92, 94 with good extension, again, plays up a little more. A lot to like about Lucas. Now, we've seen some pretty significant advancements this year, especially after he's gotten to Mississippi and some of those strikeout numbers. Gary, I want to hear, what have you seen in terms of like overall pitching trends for Lucas this year?
When Braun was in high A, he tended to just kind of throw his fastball in the zone and rely on the fact that hitters at that level really aren't that good at hitting strikes often, you know, especially his slider. They really couldn't handle his breaking balls. When he got to double A, he did struggle a little bit because he was throwing a bit too many strikes. Like, the ball was in the zone so often that hitters were pretty much swinging at all of his fastballs, and they were able to make a lot of contact against him. You know, he's really shifted from a guy who kind of felt like he kind of mixed everything in to a guy who's really, again, we talk about that slider. He's gone from a guy who worked off of his fastball to a guy who works off of his slider. And so because of his slider, because it's more of a sweeping slider, he's moved towards more of an east-west approach where, you know, he's moving his fastball rather than up and down in the zone. He's tending to move his fastball in and out. So he throws a slider. He can really throw the thing across the zone. He can land it for strikes. He can throw it out of the zone to get swings and misses. And then they've really shifted everything towards his slider. His curveball went from a pitch that was more of a downward breaker with, you know, that slow velocity that he was really more just throwing it across the zone and stealing strikes with it to a pitch that, you know, he's kind of tilted it. And it's kind of similar to what they've done with Spencer Schwellenbach, where the slider and the curveball move on a similar plane, but they're at a different velocity and they move different amounts. So they look like similar pitches out of the hand, but they just move just enough different that they tunnel well. And so again, he's pitching, instead of throwing the curveball as a pitch that's designed off of his fastball, it's a curveball that's designed off of his slider, and it works better in terms of its deception that way. Then the fastball, again, is a pitch that he gets strikes with. He gets a ton of strikes with it. Doesn't get a, you know, gets average, maybe a bit below average swing and miss, but it's more about moving it in the zone, getting weak contact with that pitch, and really hitting the edges with it. And then that's why I think, you know, we talk about the changeup. I think that's why they've gone away from the changeup, because it's not a pitch that necessarily tunnels well with the slider. You look at some guys and what they've done, Ian Anderson and AJ Smith Shaw are prime examples of their changeups are their best pitches. And they design their sliders to look somewhat similar to their changeups in terms of their horizontal depth. I mean, in terms of their vertical depth and in terms of their velocity, they design the sliders to look similar to that. And then, you know, obviously move in an opposite direction. So it kind of tunnels well that way. With Braun, his changeup is so different from his slider, and it's so different from his fastball and curveball that it's hard. It doesn't really have the deception you often want to see with that changeup. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they're toying with maybe a different shape on his changeup to try to really maximize that. But it really, for me, it didn't feel like a pitch that worked well. You know, on its own, it's a good pitch. Does it work well with his arsenal? I didn't necessarily feel like it did. And so they kind of went away, and again, they're working slider, curveball, fastball. With a lot of guys, they feel confident in those slow curveballs against left-handed, you know, against opposite-handed batters. And so for Braun, he's right-handed. That would be left-handed batters. They feel confident using that curveball against left-handed batters as a way to get outs rather than in place of a changeup. So with Braun, you're kind of seeing that more frequently. So he's increased his curveball usage, you know, especially lately, where he was almost entirely fastball slider early in his time with Mississippi. They've increased the amount of curveballs, really kind of gone away from the changeup. Could be something they reintroduce once they work on exactly what shape they want that pitch to have. And I would expect them to at some point introduce some sort of changeup for him. But right now, they're really focused on slider, curveball, fastball. Those pitches have worked well for him. I think that's going to be the question, is how well does that curveball work against lefties? Because typically a pitch that you want to work against lefties from a curveball perspective is more of a vertical curveball. His is more, you know, it has more tilt. It's more horizontal. So it may be a pitch that struggles against left-handed batters, you know, as he goes, you know, into AAA, into the major leagues. And then, you know, I could see them adding a changeup that would be more of a 10% usage type thing. But right now they've really, again, shifted to east-west approach, really kind of slinging the slider across the zone, moving the fastball in and out. And he's a guy that he can really move his fastball well, up, down, in and out. He can move his fastball. And that's one of the good things about him is he works east to west, but if you need him to go up in the zone and he wants to get a swing and miss with that fastball, he can put that fastball at the top of the zone, and he does that. And so he has the variation in his arsenal while also having a primary approach to work off of.
If verticality is something that he really needs with that changeup, it would be interesting to see next year him coming out with, you know, that Schwellenbach split change, something like that. Gorgeous pitch. Of course, easier said than done, but it could be a possible something that Lucas might be working on this offseason. Appreciate the rundown on him, Garrett. Now, the question everyone always asks, what, again, because he's got a bit of a not 100% conventional like windup and delivery, he does have that reliever risk. I think that's something that Baseball America said as soon as he was drafted, just because, mainly because of that, everyone enjoys his three to four pitch mix. But then it's just that he's got some reliever risk in terms of his delivery. Garrett, what do you project his role in the majors as being?
You know, every pitcher has reliever risk in terms of injury risk. That's the main risk, I think, with Braun. You know, he is 6 foot tall, so he's a little bit undersized compared to most starting pitchers. I think that's really the biggest concern what you have with him, but he's been durable all year. He hasn't been hurt this year. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt immediately after I say that, but he hasn't been hurt this year. He's been consistent throughout the year, high pitch counts, pitching deep into games. So he's a guy that, look, he has a deep pitch mix. He commands the ball well. In terms of his skill set, he's going to stick as a starter. I don't think that he's a guy that, I don't look at him like Schwellenbach, where you're looking at a guy that can get to a number two, number three type starter. But I think he's a solid 4-5 and more of a true 4-5 than like the guys I mentioned earlier. Guys like Dodd and Vines, who are more, you kind of float them between AAA and the major league. Sure, they can fit as a fifth starter, but ideally they're more depth. Braun's a guy that I really think is someone that can fill innings, be a consistent, reliable 4-5. Is he a guy that you necessarily want in the postseason, making key starts? Maybe not, but he's good enough that you can feel like that guy can, you can rely on him in the rotation every year to give you consistent innings. A back end type starter, not the most exciting prospect necessarily, but a guy that, he's so solid at everything that he does. Now that they're figuring out the approach with him, I don't see any, unless he starts getting hurt, I don't see a future for him in the bullpen. He is a starter. Will he crack the Braves rotation? Maybe not. It is a very good rotation. Obviously, injuries will happen. He will get opportunities, but he may, in terms of being a consistent 30 to 33 starts a year guy, that may happen and it may would happen, have to happen in a different system. But yeah, he's a guy that I think is a starter and probably a starter sooner rather than later. I would say sometime next year he'll get a shot, and then I wouldn't be surprised if he pretty much immediately stakes a claim and is a starter in the major leagues from then on. I think he's very close to being a major league starter right now.
I like that very specific distinction. Like I also have a more as a 4-5, and that meaning like how you called out the Dylan Dodd, not necessarily being a quad A type of player. I do believe once he's up there, he's going to be a complete major league starter for the multitude of reasons that we've gone over. I think he's going to eat some innings. He's going to perform admirably. He's going to have a pretty, there is the risk between the height and the mechanics that, maybe there's potential injury risk, but that's pretty much every single pitcher. I could totally see him having a very successful and long major league career. And that's something to really be proud of, a sixth round draft pick out of Cal State Northridge. So Garrett, I'm with you on the overall role. Now let's talk the ETA to the majors. I said, potentially next year, if he's going to be in that starter role, let's make it a little more difficult. I'm not talking spot starts. When do you see him being a major league regular?
I mean, it's difficult with the Braves specifically because they do have a lot of starting pitching depth. I think if he was in an organization that doesn't have pitching depth, and we obviously don't know what the situation is going to be with Max Fried. They've had injuries with guys like Ronaldo Lopez down the stretch. There may be two, three spots open, and he's going to be competing with guys like Ian Anderson, AJ Smith-Shaver. So it's going to be tough for him to win a job in Atlanta. I think if he was in a team where you needed a fifth starter, I would give him a shot out of spring training next year. I think that he very well could win a spot in spring training next year. I think by the middle of next year, he'll probably be major league ready. There will be growing pains. There were growing pains with Spencer Schwellenbach, but I think the command, the pitch mix, it's already, he's getting there from an approach perspective where he's getting close. And I don't think it's going to take a few starts in AAA for him to figure that level out. And then at that point you say, okay, he's probably ready to give him an extended shot at the major league level. That's tougher with the Braves specifically, but I could see him getting extended starts really middle of next year. And he's a guy that, we've seen the Braves in the past at the end of the year, they'll call up these guys from high AA, move them up to AAA to get them a few extra starts. I really want to see them do that with Braun because I think he's ready for the AAA level right now. And it's tough because they have a lot of guys getting starts there, but even if it's go in there and throw three innings out of the bullpen, I think that he could use the AAA experience now. He'll start at AAA next year. And yeah, I mean, I could see him being the first guy to get a spot start next year, and I could see him middle of the year being pretty much ready to say, hey, it's my turn, give me five or six starts. But with the Braves, it'll kind of depend on what opportunities become available. But in terms of actually being ready for it, I think it's next year, and it won't be second half of next year. It'll be May, June, he'll be ready for that role.
A couple nuggets I want to kind of follow up with. You talked about similar issues with Spencer Schwalenbach. He's going to have those struggles once you come in. Much like Spencer, he fills up the zone a lot, and we've seen that difference between minor league and major league hitters. When you're filling up the zone consistently, they're going to start hitting you in the majors. So him having that good command of all four of his pitches, he'll be able to work through that, start nibbling a little more, staying outside the zone, because those major league hitters are a completely different breed. I do love your call out. I unfortunately agree with you entirely. I see him competing for a spot in that rotation and spring training itself, just because there's nothing. Pitcher injuries are so freaking common that you need to make sure you have as much depth as possible. And it's really worked out for the Braves this year. But one thing that they haven't had is that consistent 4-5 non-quad A player. Lucas fills that role, and I think he could fill that role very, very admirably with the Braves again. Take those lumps at the start of the year, work on it, and then becomes a longtime major league pitcher. Will it be for the Braves organization? Will it be for another team? Don't know. Very attractive trade piece as well, should the Braves decide to make some moves in the offseason. That was a lot on Lucas Braun, and that will officially wrap up this episode of Peach State Prospects. We are so glad to be back with you after a couple weeks off. A special thank you to our listeners for tuning in and supporting the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with all your other fellow Braves fans. Continue to stay connected with us on social media for updates on future episodes and for any more insight into the Braves minor league system. We're about to hop off here and take in game one of the division series for the Rome Emperors. Garrett, quickly, let's hear, what are your thoughts on this series against Bowling Green, and can our boys get it done against them?
Bowling Green's a tough team, but the Braves do have a very good rotation. They're starting out with Blake Burkhalter. I've been a big Blake Burkhalter guy. I've been yelling his name from the rooftops for a while now. He's going to be a great guy to start game one. After that, who knows what? But they have so many good pitchers. I mean, Garrett Bowman just threw seven scoreless innings in his high A debut. That was fantastic. Adam Meyer, J.R. Ritchie, Herrick Hernandez, who has been your fourth round pick this year, has been eye-opening. Mitch Ferris, we just interviewed him, arguably one of the top three or so pitchers in the system this year. I assume Mitch will get a will get one of those starts, but yeah, it's going to be, they have the pitching to get it done. The hitting's been hot and cold throughout the second half of the year. They've struggled a little bit, but six of their last eight games they've won, or seven of their last nine, actually, I think it is. And I think they're ready, and that's such a great pitching staff. You never know what's going to happen, but Bowling Green, it's a really good team. It's been a really good team all year.
It's going to be a really, really fun series. And seriously, kudos to Rome for that very, very strong first half that got him here. That does it for us. Until next time, keep cheering on the prospects. And as always, go Braves.